Reading from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. Again from the Common English Bible. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which this work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord replied, "Hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame. But all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning. We ask that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our minds, and that you would minister to each of us, giving each of us something we need this day. Help us to be aware of your presence with us and of your Spirit ministering to us. We pray in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Man was waiting his turn in the ER when a woman burst through the doors carrying a little girl with a bloody handkerchief to her mouth. She cried, "Please, you've got to help my little girl." And she was cut off in mid-sentence by the person at the desk saying, "Ma'am, you need to have a seat. A clerk will be with you momentarily to sign you in." The woman says, "But she was hit in the mouth with..." And again, she was cut off. "Ma'am, I said, you've got to have a seat. Someone will be with you as soon as possible." Well, during this second part of the conversation, the emergency room doctor had come through the doors and overheard. And his words, as he looked at the woman at the desk, said, "Shame on you. Can't you see that this little girl needs immediate attention?" And he motioned for the mother to bring the child on into the room. And the man telling the story said, "And momentarily, I felt guilty because the first thought on my mind was, I wonder when my turn's going to come to see the doctor." Dr. Luke tells us the story of Jesus and the healing of a woman in the synagogue. It seemed to be one of his favorite places. I'm not sure Jesus had any favorite places. Wherever people were hurting, Jesus cared about what they faced. He cared about their needs, their hurts, their pains, their anxieties. We're told not which synagogue it was. It could have been any number of synagogues. Whether the woman had heard that Jesus was coming and had made a point to be there, or whether she suffered through this service every Sabbath, in spite of the terrible pain that she was experiencing. We don't know what it was. Some have tried to figure it out and have suggested the scientific name and the generic name for the disease of that results in the fusing of the spine with great pain and is eased somewhat by bending forward until many of those persons are bent almost double, trying to get some relief from their pain. Perhaps this is what this woman was suffering. For we're not told that Jesus rebuked an evil spirit here. We're told that he touched her and told the sickness to go away. There are a lot of us here this morning that would love for Jesus to just tell our sickness to go away, aren't we? But Jesus saw her. We don't know how many people were there at synagogue, but Jesus saw this hurting person. And then Jesus broke all the protocols in the same way that that ER doctor had done. Much to the dismay and the anger of the ruler of the synagogue. This is not appropriate. This is not what we do. You do not work on the Sabbath day. What you're doing is wrong. Of course, not wanting to challenge the rabbi, he challenges the congregation, you know. Come on another day to be healed. Rather than saying, Jesus, you should not have done that. He says, you shouldn't put him in this position. You know what he's like. You know how caring this man is. You know that he can't stand to see hurting people. Why do you come when you know that you're going to make a lawbreaker of him? Oh, people, have a heart. I'm sure he believed with all his heart that he was putting God first. And Jesus knew better. He was putting rules first. He was putting the protocols first. He was putting the way of doing things. And there's nothing wrong with discipline. In fact, the scriptures call us to spiritual discipline. There's nothing wrong with laws. If it weren't for laws, we would have chaos. All laws are not just. Sometimes laws get in the way, as in the case the other day when a piece was being put forward about mandatory sentencing, and some people who had fallen through the cracks in that system, that the judge was saying, I don't want to do this, but the law says that I have to sentence you to the maximum because of what you faced. I wish the law were different, but it's not. This week, we celebrate the Million Man March on Washington, and we remember how a hurting people descended upon Washington to try to make their voices heard and to call attention to the nation of how much they had been slighted and hurt and afflicted. Jesus revolutionized things. He turned everything on its ear. First of all, he spoke to the woman. I mean, guys out in public didn't speak to women. They seldom spoke to their wives, but to speak to a stranger, oh, come on, that's just totally uncalled for and terrible. There were those who avoided it so much that if they saw a woman coming, they would actually close their eyes and run into things, and became known as the bleeding Pharisees, for they often hurt themselves in their attempts to be pure before God. Jesus called her to the center of the synagogue. I mean, that was a place reserved for men. You don't put a woman on equal footing. Jesus, come on now. But he did. And then he really went too far. He touched her. He broke the holiness code. You know that code that if you've touched, You've opened yourselves to the unholiness and the seductiveness and the sinfulness of this woman. And that he touched a woman who was unclean because of her sickness. Ah, can't you just see the ruler of the synagogue getting redder and redder and more angry as he sees each little thing that Jesus is doing? And then he dares to call her a daughter of Abraham. You didn't do that. You had sons of Abraham, you know. The men and the women received their salvation through the men. And Jesus says, she is just like every one of you. And she is just as important to God as each and every one of you. And God cares as much for her as he does each and every one of you. But then, to make it worse, he had done it on the Sabbath. And Jesus opens and reveals the hypocrisy of those who say, don't work, but if it's convenient for them, well, that's okay. If it's necessary for those who are important to them, oh, that's okay. For their animals or anything, that's okay. We'll make an exception there. Jesus challenged that and revealed that the very nature of God is one of caring, of loving, and that God reminds us that compassion trumps legalism. Compassion and grace and mercy trump judgment. And he challenges the belief that sin was the cause of this woman's problems. You know, if you're sick, if you're hurting, you probably did something wrong. You deserve whatever you get. That God's justice is there and that you've just gotten what you deserve because you're a sinner. Well, newsflash. Jesus will admit we're all sinners. But he also reminds us here that the reason this woman is sick is not because she's bad. That bad things happen to good people. He reminds us other places too, the people on whom the wall of Siloam fell. Do you think they were worse than others? Of course not. Do you think those whose blood Pilate mingled with the sacrifice were worse than others? Of course not. Do you think this woman is a bigger sinner than each and every one of you gathered here? Of course not. We all stand in need of God's grace and God's mercy. That she's hurting because there's evil in the world. This world is messed up. God made it good. But God's creation has sometimes made quite a mess of that perfect creation. We hear the term, who cares? Of course, none of you have ever said that, right? Or if we have, it's always been in jest. Or that variation of it, tell someone who cares. Because that wouldn't be right, would it? Because Jesus cares. And he reminds us that God cares. He cares when we hurt. He cares what we face. He cares when bad things happen to us. Even if it may come to that point where we have messed up and are at least partially to blame or even fully to blame for the consequences. That there are those other times when we've done absolutely nothing wrong. And yet, evil has brought pain to us. The old song says, does Jesus care? It goes into some four verses there of the hurt and the pain that is felt and then the response of the songwriter. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Shame on you. It wasn't just an ER doctor. It's what Jesus says, isn't it? May not be quite the wording, but when we catch the drift, Jesus is saying, shame on you. You've put things, you've put laws, you've put rules, you've put your things ahead of God. This God who calls us to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, and just a couple of chapters back has given us the story of the Good Samaritan. And reminded us that the one who is shown mercy is the one that we are supposed to imitate. That we are likewise to care. In the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the prodigal son, elder brother, and waiting father, Jesus reminds us that God is ready to welcome us. God is ready to touch us. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. Did the ruler of the synagogue get it? We're not really told. We'd love to hope he did. Did the elder brother get it when Jesus had explained the situation? We're not told that he did or didn't, but since it was told to the Pharisees who got angry, they apparently didn't get it, or at least it didn't change them. How about us? How will we go home? What will happen in our lives? What difference will God bring within us? The woman went home rejoicing. The crowd went home rejoicing. Go, friends, and do likewise. Gracious Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love and your call upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, for all that you're going to do. And gracious Lord, we ask that you would reign in our hearts, that you would help us to love you with all our hearts and to remember that how we love and care for others reflects on that love for you. Lord, minister to us. Equip, empower us for love. Help us to be a people who care, serving a God, a Savior who cares. In Jesus' name.